If you have listened to more than 10 episodes of The Ron Van Dam Show in a row, you may be entitled to hazard pay. Fill out two copies of Form 63-B and bring them to Estelle in Human Resources. Don't forget, Estelle is off on Tuesdays. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for the processing of your hazard pay claim. And thank you for listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, 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 hi.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, hey, how are you?
Do I sound excited enough? I think I do.
Hey, hey, what's new? Hey, hey, how are you feeling?
Wow, this takes a lot of effort.
How are you? Welcome to the program. Thank you very much for being here. I will be your pilot
for the flight of your life as far as radio broadcasts are concerned. Otherwise, has nothing to do with flying at all. All right, that's enough theme music. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yesterday was my birthday. I don't like to mention it, but I had to. I did get a lot of nice greetings from people, mostly happy birthday, but that's fine, I guess, under the circumstances. People are busy. I get it. I have to go to yoga. I get it. I get you're busy. I got to go to the gym. I have to go to yoga. I got to pick up the kids. Why don't you just leave them there? I get it. You're busy. Okay, I get it. So happy birthday is about all you can say. Thank you very much anyway. The thought, oh my God. And thank you to Facebook for reminding the thousands of people that contacted me through a post. You made me cry. It was so heartfelt. No, it's good to hear from people that I haven't heard from in a long time. Some of them, good to hear from them. Others, why bother? Anyway, that's over with. I've got a year to not have to deal with that birthday crap. So thank you anyway, though. Seriously, you know, I'm being sarcastically entertaining. Seriously, thank you for all the kind words. It's nice that I could hear that while I was still alive. Oh, my God, that was morbid. Oh, that was morbid. Anyway, welcome to the program. This is, what day of the week is this? Thursday. Oh my God. Whoa. Slow it down. If there was really a Superman, do you remember the episode where Superman wanted to go back in time? So he jumped off the earth because he could fly, you know, at high speeds, faster than a locomotive. And locomotive, who uses that word anymore? I guess if you're like a train engineer, you might use locomotive, but otherwise nobody says that. Anyway, Superman would leap into the air and into space, and he would fly at a high speed counterclockwise to the rotation of the Earth and go back in time accordingly. I need you, Superman. The Earth is spinning too fast. That, or we've got to get rid of yoga. I mean, God, everybody's going to yoga. Can I be honest with you for just a second? Because other than that, I'm really not. I don't even know what yoga is. I thought it was that stuff that comes in the little containers, you know, and has a lot of protein in it. No, Ron, that's yogurt. Oh, my God, I confused the two. I don't know what yoga is. I've never been to a yoga class because I don't want anybody to teach me yoga. I've seen yoga on TV. Isn't that a character in Star Wars? Star Wars? Star Wars? I don't know. I don't know what yoga is. It's people sitting on mats in strange positions. And how is that good for you? Ron, you don't understand yoga. It stretches the body and it's... Stop it. Just cut it out. Anyway, yeah, I'm not into yoga. I don't do sand. I don't do anything, really. I do walk a lot. I go from here to there a lot. I walk always. Unless I'm driving, then I'm not walking. But I walk to the car. It's just like the Kardashians. I tease them because they're very teasable. They're the most pathetic rich family I've ever heard of in my life. They go to yoga. They own yoga. They invented yoga. I don't want to talk about the Kardashians because it's just not worth the time. But at this, I've always remarked the only exercise the Kardashians really get is walking to the airplane from the limousine. That's about it. Or walking from the limousine into the hotel lobby. That's a lot of walking for those girls. Do you ever notice the Kardashians basically have a glass of wine soldered to their fingers? It's always there. And to show you just what a wonderful foundation the Kardashian family is, look at what happened to Bruce Jenner. Yeah, he didn't want that to happen. He was forced to have that happen. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. I wanted to talk today about a subject matter that pisses me off. Oh, get in line. And that's the Supreme Court. What the hell are you guys doing? And when I say guys, I'm including the females as well. What the hell's going on up there on the hill? What are you doing? Were you arguing about passing marijuana legislation and making a ruling on marijuana, and you figured, well, we got to smoke it every day to figure it out? What the hell's going on with you people? You're just reversing things. Oh, remember all the wonderful decisions we made? Yes, I do. Do you remember? Yeah, I remember them too. We made some great decisions. I got an idea. Let's reverse them.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That way we don't have to make any more decisions. We can just reverse the ones we had, and it looks like we're doing stuff.
By the way, that's my impression of their voices. No matter how much you believed in the government in this country, usually people don't. That's just normal for human beings to buck the system. But the Supreme Court was always like the solid foundation where, we know what we're doing. We know how to make a country successful by following this Constitution paper that somebody wrote up. And we've got some amendments to them. There's a good time. That
was the foundation. And now, to me, the foundation has cracked.
These judges are appointed by the presidents without any election or anything. Well, sure, they're approved by the Congress, but, you know, they're loaded with politicians too. So how is this fair? Supreme Court judges should be elected. I mean, why are they appointed? And appointed for life? I mean, okay, appoint them maybe for 8 years or something. For life? Are you kidding me? The only people who get appointed to anything for life would be murderers who get appointed to their sentence for life. For life you have this job?
It's not the only job for life there is, by the way. You can be Pope. That works, too. You can have that as long as you want until you say, hey, I've had enough of this shit. I want to spend more time with my family. That's the greatest excuse of all. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. That is no excuse. You could have always spent time with your family. Well, I want to spend more time with my family. Seriously? Have you looked at your family lately? Yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave my position. I want to spend more time with my family. Oh, God, stop saying that. You can lessen what you do by, no, I want to spend more time with my family. Okay, fine, whatever. Anyway,
appointed for life. Are you kidding me? That should not, in this country of the United States of America, do I have the title right of that? It is the United States of America, right? To appoint somebody for life, that's a kingdom job. I mean, you don't do that in this country. Well, we do with Supreme Court judges. And then you dress them in robes. Nice job. You get to wear a robe all day. You could be wearing slippers. We never see a shot of your feet. I don't know what you have under that robe anyway. Let's dress them up in robes. Let's make them pious and all-seeing and all-knowing and the top level of decision-making. But let's dress them in robes. What is that supposed to make them more human? Is that supposed to what are we doing here? Why are we dressing them in robes?
I don't know, but it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Whether you agree with their decisions or you don't, that body of people is not supposed to be political. And I know that some of the decisions, many of the Trump-appointed Supreme Court judges actually decided against Trump as far as this quote-unquote stolen election is concerned. Or they didn't want to hear it. You know, thanks for appointing me for life. Now get out of here. So that's the way it should work. But I don't understand this reversing decision thing. I mean, how was the decision? Was it wrong before? Is that what it is? Was it wrong before? Now, whatever decision they make, it's like, all right, we're going to make the decision until somebody argues the point, and then we'll just reverse it. I mean, so what's going on? But that's not the point of my conversation today. Here's my problem with our legal system, and I'm serious about this. I know I kid around a lot because that's what I do, but I'll tell you, this really bothers me. Those that have money win. Those that don't, either they lose or it's a damn struggle to win. If you have money, you can hire the best attorneys on the planet, and they will get you off legally. And that's wrong. That is wrong. Take, for example, let's see, what's a good example of this? Donald Trump apparently has a lot of money and a lot of influence, apparently. He has been legally battled all of his life, sued, etc. And he gets out of everything by settling it in court, or just delaying it until things just go away. Then he became president. I think the only reason he became president, yeah, power and all that stuff, which is in his blood, but it was so that he'd be Teflon. Well, they don't really indict presidents, so I guess this is a good thing. That man has bought his way out of trouble, and I take offense to that. If you had a subpoena to appear in court, as Don has numerous times, if you had a subpoena and you ignored it or said, I'm not going, what would happen? They'd arrest you and throw you in jail. But if you're a politician, okay. And that's because they can hire the best attorneys in the world to delay it and find these loopholes in the law. Or you have enough money to settle cases. Well, rather than go to jail, how about if I give you $2 million? Okay, fine. This guy has been sued more than Christ has sandals. I made that up, by the way. Thank you very much. I mean, I didn't mean that to be disparaging, but I thought it was a pretty cool little saying. I, this is politics. I don't give a shit, really. Well, I do. But at the same time, that's not the point. The point is anybody who can pay their way out of legal trouble, this is not fair. And this is not fair at all. And the person that doesn't have money or much money, when they're sued, they have to spend tons of money to defend themselves. And they usually lose because the other person who had more money was able to defend themselves better because they had better attorneys. That is not America. But it is. And that pisses me off. All men are created equal unless they're in legal trouble. Then the ones with the money win. There are some there are some cases where that wasn't the case, but it usually is. And I think Trump is the poster child of getting out of trouble by buying your way out. And I don't like that. I don't think the person who sits in the White House should be under any kind of different microscope than you or I, especially you. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, the legal system and the Supreme Court. It is difficult for me to understand how we have created this lifelong position. It is contrary to everything. The only lifelong positions should be as mother or father. Otherwise, no. Oh my God. And nepotism, I don't like that either. If you can't find people to do the job in government, to work with you, who aren't related to you, then what the hell's going on here? I don't like nepotism, and I don't like this you can't touch me because I have a lot of money, I'll do whatever I want. You know, there are rules and regulations in towns and cities and countries, and if you defy the law, there are penalties. There are penalties. But if you have enough money, I don't give a shit. I'll just pay the penalty. It's no skin off my teeth. I got tons of money. It ain't going to bother me. Yeah, fine me as much as you want. I'll just pay the penalty. I don't care. It's nothing to me. Yeah, but if you're poor or you don't have a lot of money or you're living a day to day or you're watching every penny, that penalty can put you down. That financial fine can really financially hurt you. Rich person, I'll do whatever the hell I want. You want to fine me? I'll pay the fine. What the hell? Not fair in this country. Not fair. Not right. Anyway, those are my two cents, keeping it on a monetary kind of conversation here. So what are we going to do today? Well, my guest today is going to talk about the Supreme Court. It was a body of the country that we just kind of thought was uncrackably foundation-wise solid. And then when Roe v. Wade came along, and that was reversed, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute now. You're reversing shit. I didn't know you could do that just because somebody questions it. Well, Ron is a different political atmosphere. That should have nothing to do with the Constitution. So what's happening up there with that? Are all the foundations cracking, or are the people of this country starting to realize that no, they're not going to crack? We're going to fill the crack with the holes and with the epoxy. And we're going to make the foundation strong again. I don't know. I just don't know. So our guest will join us momentarily, but before our guest does that, we do have a short commercial break because someone has to pay for this, and obviously, that's not going to be you. So we'll be right back after this.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something-like-cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Andrew Seidel is an attorney and quite an accomplished author as well. His new book, American Crusade, is fascinating. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I could talk about this stuff all day long.
When I was going over this, I said to myself, this interview really should be taking 10 hours, but we can't do that. So we're going to perform an amazing feat here and see what we can do in 8 minutes. The Supreme Court is very high in the news these days with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, obviously, and other recent decisions, and some fairly recent ones in the past as well. Let me ask you, in your view here, has the court always been this controversial, or are we just kind of social media picking this thing up?
I don't think the court has always been this controversial. I think what we're seeing right now is a court that's drunk on power and unchecked in every way, shape, or form. But, you know, I mean, if you want to understand what is happening right now with our Supreme Court, with the law, with religion and the law, with abortion rights, I mean, you really have to read American Crusade. Because so much of what we are seeing just dies right back to the assault that I highlight in this book.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000% on this, and you know, it's like losing a foundation. You always feel like as long as you got certain things in the foundation, everything's going to be all right. And when your foundation seemingly begins to crack, we get into a different situation, don't we?
Absolutely, and you're right, because religious freedom has long been a shield, right? It has defended the minority against the tyranny of the majority. It's defended us all against government overreach. Never, never has it been a license to violate the rights of others or to harm other people. Yeah. But this packed Supreme Court, collaborating with a well-funded, powerful network of Christian nationalist organizations, is changing that. And these crusaders really are weaponizing religious freedom. And what I mean by that is that for the last decade, in case after case, the court has been reshaping that First Amendment protection into a weapon that conservative Christians can wield to injure other people, to violate their rights, and to impose their religion on us all. So American Crusade tells the stories behind the blockbuster cases that are rewriting our Constitution. And it does so without, no offense to all the lawyers out there listening, without the legalese that we lawyers love. So I want everybody to be able to pick this book up and understand the threat and see just how radical and dangerous the crusaders and Supreme Court opinions truly are.
Well, because this is a fairly new upheaval in our society, we don't understand really where it came from and how it got there, other than Trump appointed people. But this is, you know, that's just one small component. I always thought that in the Constitution that there was a separation of church and state, and that's what confuses me the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there really is, and it's something that we've taken for granted, which I think is what you were hinting at in the last question, too. Yeah. We've, for too long, assumed that was there and enjoyed the protections of it without trying to defend it. You know, I've dedicated my career to defending that and to defending true religious freedom. But I think we're about to get a real world lesson in what it's like to live in a country without the separation of church and state. And what we really need is a national recommitment to that separation. And one of the best things.
Go on.
Go ahead.
Well, I never saw. I was going to say I never saw the separation between church and state.
Yeah, I mean, it has been under assault for a long time. And right now, what we are seeing, this weaponizing of religious freedom, comes with the erosion of the separation of church and state, because the truest guarantee for real religious freedom is that separation. And you know, I mean, there's a ton of cases that people may remember, cases like the gay wedding cake case, the COVID church cases, the Muslim ban case, and in an update to American Crusade already, the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe versus Wade. And then there's these cases that you may not remember, but which are really crucial too, cases about huge crosses on government land, about school vouchers, you know, about the Hobby Lobby case, you know, and American Crusade tells those stories and then really highlights the through lines that this court wants to take these cases, that it wants to ignore procedure and longstanding precedent to change the law, that it will rewrite facts and reality to reverse engineer decisions in an effort to privilege conservative Christians by rewriting religious freedom.
See, everything has turned into a Republican-Democrat kind of thing, unfortunately. But the Democrats this time around are saying, I'm going to tell you what we think is coming next. And that would be women's rights, marriage equality, contraception. I mean, throwing it all out there. But because the economy isn't doing too well, let's forget that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, though, that at the end of Roe is just the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, they've not been shy about telling us what they're coming. They're coming for marriage equality. They are coming for contraception. I mean, they're coming for all our rights. So here, this is the bottom line. There is no amount of power or privilege that will satisfy the crusaders, that will stop them. We have to stop them.
It's not the economy, stupid. It's the country, stupid, as far as I'm concerned. We need to change the thing that you put on your bumper on your car. At what point do you believe that the American public stands up and says, no? Because that really hasn't happened yet. It's just when the court decides something, that's just it. Is it indeed just it when that happens?
I don't think so. And I think we are about to test that proposition, because their wins, right? The Crusaders' wins in the abortion case, in the case of the coach that was imposing prayer on other people's children, where the court adopted this quote deceitful narrative, right? Every one of their wins swells our ranks. That they're actually creating a feedback loop. You know, the whole reason for this crusade in the first place is demographics. They're seeing their demographic privilege and power and status waning. And what they are doing is working to privilege the chosen few. So every victory that they notch alienates more people and wakes more people up to the danger. Their power-hungry aggression is actually growing the movement against them. Yeah. So I do take some hope from that. And I actually offer in American Crusade some very concrete solutions that people who are pissed off and want to fight back can adopt and can start implementing. Yeah.
There's been political violence throughout our history, far more intense than what we're going through now. What do you see happening if the court continues to make these types of decisions or overturns?
I mean, I'm deeply worried about the prospect of political violence, not necessarily in response to the court making these decisions, but from the side that favors those decisions. I mean, this is what we saw on January 6th.
Yeah.
And the January 6th committee actually asked me to submit testimony based on a report that I wrote on the role that Christian nationalism played in that insurrection so that they could include it in the final record of their work. And I'm worried about what's going to happen in the coming weeks. Not as worried as I was in the lead up to January 6th, but I still am worried. And things are going to get worse before they get better.
Well, we're getting into the bullying stage where we're making threats upon families and people in position, and that's a different route to take. And you know, this is an example of how we could talk for hours, but we're not able to. And that's where the book comes in. It's American Crusade. Get into it because it's topical. You could have written this actually 20 years ago and it still would be topical. This is available everywhere, I assume.
Yeah. I encourage people to pick up a copy of your library if you can't get one, but it is a must read. If you want to understand what is going on with the Supreme Court and the law and especially religion right now, you've got to pick up a copy of American Crusade.
Is there a website that we can visit in the social age of social websites?
I'm on Andrew. I'm Andrew L. Seidel, S-E-I-D-E-L, everywhere. And if you really want to do something great, go join AU.org. They need all the help they can get. They're defending the separation of church and state on the front lines.
Perfect. Pleasure speaking to you. Wish we had more time. Congratulations on your book. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. I'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. We're going to speak to some people that are going to give us some insight as to what that really means. And I don't know what to tell you, man. If you're running late for your yoga class, you better get it on. Till tomorrow, I wish you peace. We'll be right back.